Last time we covered the difference between Pei Gimel Amud Beis and Sadi Amud Aleph and Rashi. And that was distinguishing between a Makashel Tsar and a Makashel Bizayon. So we did the Sheet of Rashi that the Mishnah really has to do with the Chiddush of how the Shum of Boshes works. And that it happens to be that in a Makashel Bizayon, is easier. There's a greater facility in terms of actually doing the Shuma because the Mavayish disappears. So in terms of the Rambam, so now that we have Rashi, as we're anchored with Rashi, as at least we've established that there's such a thing as a Makashel Tsar and a Makashel Bizayon, and we understand a little bit what the Gemara was trying to do with the Makashel Bizayon. So now we take a look at the Rambam, and that's in Chov Lomazik, Perek Gimel. So if we accept the proposition that the Rambam agrees that there's a Makashel Tsar and a Makashel Bizayon, things go smoother from the beginning, I think. The Rambam doesn't use that Lashon directly, although I think I could probably persuade you that with some of the Lashon that he does think there's such a distinction. But he discusses two different types of Shuma by Boshes, and I think that the Rambam would agree that one is Makashel Tsar and one is Makashel Bizayon. So Makashel Tsar...
Where are we?
Perek Gimel, Chov Lomazik. So the Rambam says in the first halacha of Chov Lomazik, Perek Gimel, Ketzid Misharim Aboshes. Hakol Lefiyah Mevayish VaMisvayish. No surprise there. Eino Duma Mizvayish Mina Katan LeMizvayish Mi Odom Godol Umechuvad. Shezei Shebishu Zei Akal Bashto Meruba. So he says that everything goes like according to the Mavayish VaMisvayish, right? It's transactional. The how big the one guy was, how small the other guy was, because being degraded by someone who is littler is not the same as being degraded as someone who is much higher in stature. Because being belittled by someone who is less formidable, that boshes is more, the Rambam says. So that would seem to me that dovetails with the Mishnah on Pei Gimel, right? So that is the Makashel Tsar formula that we know. So then the Rambam says, and I think it's important just to review in Halacha Dalid, when he starts to talk about what do we mean Mevayish VaMisvayish, he says, HaMevayish es HaShota Potter, VaMevayish es HaCheresh Chayev. HaMevayish es HaGer, or es HaEved Chayev, Mevayish es HaKotten, Im kishemach liman oso nichlam chayev vim eno nichlam potter. Right? And he says it does, right? Everything, where your potter is with a shota, right? The shota, not necessarily because the shota can't be embarrassed, but because maybe in terms of social demotion, they can't be demoted. Because in terms of that stature, they're not going to really lose in any transactional way, right? But by a gadol and a katan, there is some room to maneuver. There's something transactional, and it's got to be a katan where they are. It has to be a katan that happens to have some social aptitude. So a katan that has social aptitude, that's capable of participating in the social scene, is aware, has social awareness. That katan has a shuma transactionally for boshas. He says, "When we call makom, eno doma mavayish as a katan, mavayish as a gadol, v'lo mavayish as a evid, mavayish ben chorn, v'lo mavayish cheresh, mavayish pikeach." Right? It all depends on where they stand. So that is makashel tsar boshas. So then makashel bizayon, the Rambam talks about in ches. So then he says, Yesh hakos rabos sheish behen bizoy v'tzar ma'at vein behen nezek. He says, now you have this other classification, and let's just say that I think it's fair when the Rambam says, Yesh hakos rabos sheish behen bizoy, that he is agreeing with the proposition that these are a makashel bizoyon. He doesn't go that far from the Lashon. Yesh hakos rabos. He doesn't say chavalos, right? He says, these are hakos that have Bizoy v'tzar me'at ve'ein behen nezek. Right? So these are the makos shel bizoyon that we learned about on Tzadi Amud Aleph. Everyone go along with that? Right? And so he says, ukvar pasku lehem chachamim damim ketsuvim. So here he departs from Rashi a little bit. He doesn't say this is minag adayanim, that they had a minag, that this was, that, you know, that it becomes a, you know, this is what they did, this is something, you know, the way that Rashi presents it, it was almost like the sugya was saying, this was a convenience, you know, this is what they did. Now the Rambam's saying that they paskind, right? Damim ketsuvim, they set a value. The kol hamaka chavero haka mehen mishalom oso mamon hakatzuv. And if you did these makas, you slapped someone, you hit someone, you paid this fixed value. V'chulin kenasos hein. And these are kenasos. V'oso hamamon hakatzuv hu demei hatzar v'aboshes v'arifoy v'ashevas. Now the Rambam now departs from Rashi in another way, in that he holds that this isn't just for boshes. The makas shel bizoyon is bundled. So you're paying for all these things. Ben tzarech l'refua v'sheves, ben lo tzarech, right? Kezehu mishalem. Whether really you owed the boshes or sheves or not, doesn't matter. It's the fixed value for all the things, right? So when you did the makas shel bizoyon, sometimes when they built the value in, they built it including sheves and refoy for that particular injury. But if it happens to be when you did that injury, they didn't have that, you still pay that amount. That's it. It's the money for that. Even though you're paying for all these deraisa things, right? So you're paying for, right, when you injure someone, you pay the sheves and the refoy because you're chayev mi deraisa. Now what's interesting is we always say, hamotzi mamon mechaver olav haraya, right? That you can't take, money stays, it's inertia in halacha. Money always stays with the person who's holding it. So here the Rambam is almost saying that even though mi d'oraisa, you're not chayev and sheves and refoy, you're still paying it. Because this is a fixed value, that the chum paskin, this is the amount. And it's the amount for all the things. And he doesn't say, this is the amount for makashel bizoyon, and you don't have to pay the other things. He's saying, this is the amount for all the things. It's interesting. Okay, so then the Rambam says, V'kamahu mishalem. So then he lists the amounts. Haboet b'chavero b'raglo mishalem chamisha sloyim. Hakao barchu vaso. So that's shlosha sloyim. Right? Kavetz that's bosav. Kamo oged aguda. Right? And then you hit him. Hikao b'yado kashi aguda mishalem shalosha sloyim. So then he says that if you hit him with a fist, that's different than Rashi, who held it was an ukaf, right? The Rambam, this he's learning from that memra, that when the memra says that you hit him with an ukaf, right? The Rambam holds that, I'm sorry, when the Gemara says that you hit it with snokeres, snokeres being the lushan for like a knockout punch, the snokeres, the Rambam learns like the way that it seems the word sort of means, that it's a type of punch. Whereas the Rambam, the Rashi, interpreted that as something completely different, right? It was a saddle blow. In the Rambam in Yud Aleph, the Rambam does something that I think is unusual. So then he says, "Bema devar memura." So now he's talking about this whole shuma for the makashel bizoyon business. All these halachas we've learned of how much you pay in each case. Bema devar memura. He says, "Bemechubad." These are all talking about a case where a guy is a mechubad, a guy is an upstanding person. Aval adam shehu mevuza ve'eno makbid b'chul ilu hadvarim ukiyotze behen eino nota elefi masha roilo ukemo shiir hadayanam shu roilito ulefi shiyesh b'nei adam ke'urin she'ein makbidin al bushtam va'al kol hayom mevazin atzman b'chol mini bizoy Bekomin ebizoy derech schop v'kalas rosh. Okde litel pruta achas min halotzim hameschakim imahem. So the Rambam says there are certain people that are like indecent. You know, that's the like ke'urin is like someone, like the Gemara says, someone who follows a woman in the street. You know, it's an indecency. Someone who's indecent, right? Maybe menuvel, right? That person not considered makbid on their boshas. So there, right? So there, in that case, the Beis Din would scale things down. So when the Mishnah says hakol lafi, when the Mishnah says hakol lafi kvodo, the Rambam holds that that means hakol lafi kvodo, starting with the mechubad and scaling down to the keurin, or to the person that is a, you know, that is a that is someone who isn't makbid on their kavod.
Isn't that negative the Gemara?
Huh?
Isn't that negative the Gemara? Because the Gemara says, by the case of the woman, you can't bring a raya of the way someone treats themselves by the way they react to someone else.
So that's the thing. So the question is, how does the Rambam, we'll have to do that. The question is, how does the Rambam learn the case of the Ishta and the Mishnah? So according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, but according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, according, we paskin like the Tanakhama, hakol lafi kvodo. So the Rambam is going like the way that we paskin, but the question is the woman now not a mechubad? In other words, according to the Rambam, he would have to hold that she's not a mechubad, right? Because she's not getting the full value. She's been downgraded. Now, how are we going to fit that in with the Rambam, the way he learns a mechubad versus someone who is ain't no makbid on their kavod? It would fit, but we're going to have to understand where the Rambam sliding scale goes. If you paskin like Rabbi Akiva, everybody would be the same. Okay, but if you paskin like Tanakam, of course. All right. So then the question is, now the problem, here's the problem in the Rambam. The problem in the Rambam is, wait a second. When we did Rashi, it was pretty clear from Rashi that the system, whatever the Shuma was that considered the Mevayish and the Misvayish, at least we knew it was a matter of the Kal versus the Usher. It was the Pikeach versus the Cheresh, right? But now the Rambam's saying, over here, we're not talking about the Kal versus the Usher. We're not talking about the Ani and the Usher and the Pikeach and the Cheresh. All of a sudden, he introduces this new thing of the Mechubad and the Eino Makbid, which is nothing to do with the Shuma for Boshas. In other words, we were always operating with the principle that the Boshas, the Shuma, was essentially the same. It was just a matter of the transparency, right? That the transparency of how the Beis Din did it was in question. Now the Rambam seems to be suggesting to me that the Shuma now is entirely different. That the Makashel Bizayon Shuma isn't the same as the Makashel Tsar Shuma. Then if that's the case, what is the Tashlumen? What is the Makashel Bizayon all about then? Does that make sense?
No. Where's the second Rambam?
Yeah.
Where's the second Rambam?
Okay, so if you compare the Rambams to me, if you compare the Rambam Yud Aleph, B'mad Devar Mamurim, the one I just read, versus the one we did that was Dalet, Hamavayish HaShota, right? Where the Rambam is explaining what Hakol Lafi HaMavayish VaMitzvayish means, he contrasts the Eved and the Ben Chorin, the Cheresh and the Pikeach, the Oda, the Gadol and the Katan. Now he's introducing something about a mechubad and an eino makbid. That to me is not analogous to halacha dalet. He wouldn't even need to do that, really. He should just say, the Ram should just say, Amakashel Bizayon, the Cheresh is not the same as the Pikeach, the Godol is not the same as the Katan. Why is he introducing this whole notion now of a mechubad? If the Shuma is essentially the same, the only thing that's new is that you're missing, now a variable has fallen out and there's more transparency. If that's all that's happening, he wouldn't need to introduce a new description of how the Shuma happens, what the considerations are. Whereas the Rambam is basically suggesting that there's a whole new set of considerations for the Shuma that you didn't have in the Makashel Tsar. Now, why should the Makashel Bizayon work any differently than the Makashel Tsar in terms of the considerations for the Tashlumen? The Makashel Tsar, it never mattered if someone were a Makbid or if someone were someone that hung out and joked around or was indecent. Wouldn't matter. Yeah, but that wasn't the Aram wasn't someone who was indecent because the Aram was a matter of the Merchatz.
Yeah, but you're putter.
Huh? Yeah, but it wasn't because that person wasn't someone who was, it wasn't because they were Eino Makbid. It was because in that situation, it didn't impact them.
So isn't doing the same thing.
No.
You're a buffoon yourself. I can't make you into a buffoon.
No, but you have to understand that when we did that, it had to do with what they, contextually, what they represented as a class. It wasn't about them individually. Here, the Rambam is not talking about class distinctions anymore. In other words, in Dalit, it's class distinctions. The class of the Cheresh, the class of the Shota, the class of the Pikeach. Now he's talking about...
Wait, is that, do you think that maintains the model of Amavayish and Amisvayish?
Yes. Okay. Now all of a sudden he's introducing something that to me suggests something that isn't really about class. It's about an individual being Makbid or not. That's something totally new. That's a variable, that's a consideration, and that seems to be the principle of the Shuma. Now from where does the Rambam... from where is that? Where does that come from? It's not from the Mishnah. Not really, except it kind of is, in a way. I mean, it kind of is if what's paradigmatic in the Mishnah is the case of the Isha and taking the... I'll read that Mishnah for you in a second. But that's what we have to understand. I mean, I didn't want to waste time and just say what's different about the Rambam, because you know what I mean? So, but I think that is where the MacGuffin is in Yud Aleph.
Because you think someone could be a high-class person, but also be a...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and be a guy that...
He's a buffoon, but he's really...
You pay me $4 to do silly things. I'm a rich guy. In this read, you're not a mechubad.
You're not a mechubad, and therefore you're not...
You're down, you get less money.
So if someone's embarrassed.
Yeah, but if you were if it was a Makashel Tsar, wouldn't make a difference. You're going to pay me the full amount.
You're like a med dvar mor.
Yeah. Huh?
You're like a med dvar mor. Staff going on the
above. I am. Yep. I am. I am suggesting that. Do you want proof? Would you think there needs to be evidence for that? I mean, they're probably. We could scour to see if the notes of Kalim say this is Dafka, because it would be hard to believe that that's going on Dalit.
Well, you could say it could be modifying the halachos given there.
Yeah, it could be, but it happens to be that it fits well with the Mishnah and Makashel Bizon, and it fits well with Eino Notel Elefima Shiroilo Ukamoshira Hadayanim Shiroilitol is very close to what he said above in Makashel Bizayon.
Right, and that's not necessarily the same essay as
Makashel. No, but let's see. Is there any... That's the other thing. The Rambam here doesn't say that... He says, B'mad v'ramon b'mechubad. He's talking about the person that is on the business end of the Makashel Bizayon. But the Rambam doesn't mention anything about the Mevayish. So, since that is the case, it's pretty clear that the Mevayish doesn't matter. And the Rambam does... mention that in Dalit when he's talking about the Makashel Tsar. Hamavayish es achshota potter. Right? And he says, Hamavayish es ager, and then he says, if you keep going, Eino domo mavayish es katan, mavayish es agadav, lo mavayish es eved, mavayish ben choren. And then he says, I know I'm not proving this yet because I haven't had the actual mavayish. He says, as he says in Halacha Aleph, Eino dom mevayish min hakatan lemitzvayish mi adam gadol umechubad. There he says it. Shezei shebishu zeyakal bashto meruba. So the guy who does the boshes, who is less formidable, that is more... To me, the Rambam, again, it seems that the mevayish, he goes with Rashi, that the mevayish doesn't matter. The misvayish matters here. The Makashel Bizayon, again, the Mevayish is not important. The idea that the Mevayish is obscured, the idea there was that the Mevayish gets obscured by the drama of the mechanism of injury. A pie in the face doesn't really have a thrower. Lefi Sheyesh Bnei Adam in the Rambam is giving an example of when the Beis Din would have to make an audible and say, oh, you don't get the 400, you're getting less because we know all about your deal.
Okay, got it.
All right, so then the question is, what is the Machlokas Rashi in the Rambam? That's what we're doing. What's the Machlokas Rashi in the Rambam? And what's the Chiddush of the Rambam? Yeah, the Nafkamina is that the Rambam bundles things, and that he clearly has introduced this new Shuma approach.
I say the Nafkamina is that?
That's the Nafkamina.
You think that's the result of a Deviant Shita, or that's like...
That's the result of his Chiddush. The Rambam, the fact that the Rambam holds it's bundled has to do in some way with how he learns the sugya different than Rashi, because Rashi clearly holds that Boshes is independent and you pay Arba Dvarim separately. The Rambam holds it's all together. And he says that the Makashel Bizonion is bundled. Yosef, and I'll show that to you, seems to hold that the Rambam would hold that if there were Nezek, you might have to pay that separately.
Why?
I don't know.
Why Nezek and not your
I agree. I think that it's more, to me, from the way the Rambam reads, it would be more reasonable to think that if there were Nezek, it would be bundled. Just like everything else. For some reason, the Beis Yosef says, because the Rambam says, Bein she'yesh bo, Bein she'ein bo, and certainly there are cases where Taka Chavero, you're going to do Nezek, it must be that in those cases you pay it separately. The Rambam would have had to say that. I think it's more reasonable to think it would be bundled. But in any case, the Rambam, for sure, these things are midiraisa. The Rambam hasn't said that it's now Shevis midrabanan, Rifo midrabanan. These are all diraisa things.
There's no nezek for these things just because they don't reduce your values out of it.
Yeah, he's saying because the injury isn't bad enough to influence your value on the slave market.
Like the face doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, like I guess the injury, now that's what the Beis Yosef is saying. Of course, a big enough punch in the face might. But for a lot of them, they wouldn't. Not like chopping off a guy's arm.
Right.
Or some of the other, the injuries that in the Makashel Tsar, the Gemara's catalog of the injuries seem to be more lethal than these things.
So,
I mean, okay. The Lashon of the Rambam, I'm not sure. When he says, Yesh ben bizoy v'tzar me'at, I think he's describing what a makashel bizoyon is. Something that doesn't have nezek, but has this. These are the things we're dealing with. I'm not sure that...
Overwhelmingly embarrassing things.
Yeah, things that are embarrassing and have a little bit of pain, but this humiliation, right? He doesn't say boshes. He says,
I spit at your clothing. I spit all over you.
Yeah, it's not painful.
Putter. I don't pay you.
Right, according to the Rambam, you do. If it doesn't hit your face, you mean. Ve'gibo rok. Right, because there, it's not a maka. It has to at least be a maka. So you just fall back on, there has to be some form, because this is still within a chov al chavero. This isn't outside of that.
It's pasha that there's not.
When you say there's a set way to do the Shuma Deraisa, here's what I would say about that.
That's by definition a rabbinic, the freedom's in their hands, meaning they evaluate.
But he's saying that is the Deraisa way, and I'm comfortable with that. What this seems to be, Midiraisa, is that it was given to the Beis Din to do. Midiraisa, they do it, Lafia Mevayish Vamisvayish.
Well, that's my question. Is
yes.
To the Beis Din to do, or that you have to do Alpi of Shuma according to Mevayish?
No, you have Alpi Mevayish Vamisvayish. They didn't make that up. I don't think it was, do it however you want. And the Beis Din said, Kvar Pasku Hachamim, that it's Lafia Mevayish Vamisvayish. No, it's the Beis Din has to do it Lafia Mevayish Vamisvayish. Pasku, the only time Pasku Dayanim ever happened was here, which is strange because it's not a Takanas Chachamim. It wasn't Gozru Chachamim. It was Pasku. All of a sudden,
I don't know if it's real.
Are you saying
it
across
two lines up?
I mean, because according to Rashi, your whole thing was
yeah.
What do you mean?
According to the Rambam,
Rashi just a descriptive. Of
yeah, Rashi, yeah, right. Nothing
Rashi
changed.
Up in the air.
Yeah,
like
Rashi, nothing changed. It was Mevayish Vamisvayish, and then the Mevayish sort of disappeared.
So they just said we don't need to pay so much
attention. Yeah, yeah.
We just focus on the
yeah, dance. Yeah. The Rambam's doing a totally different dance here. One move, and then we'll see where this goes. But the one move we have to make in the Rambam, I just happened to see. Did you guys see the Toras Chaim? So yeah. The Toras Chaim says something interesting about the whole sugya. He says, when he talks about sort of the distinction between the Makashel Tsar and the Makashel Bizoyan without exactly using those words, but he says, Havtam Nira Lefi. Uzilzel nishmoso shall adam margeshes behem velo agav. So the Toras Chaim suggests that the Makah shel bizayon registers somewhere differently than the Makah shel tsar. It's not a Makah shel guf. It's in the neshama of the person. So obviously, you know. So for us, the language is different. Now clearly, this is not the psychologically minded pshat. But there's a truth there, right? So he's. It's couched in a lashon of neshama versus guf, but the idea is that the insult is happening somewhere else. And what he's telegraphing is This is not Boshas. This is Bizoy. So what he holds is that the Makashel Bizoyon is fundamentally not a Chavoah. The Makashel Bizoyon, of course it's a Maka. So of course, since it's a Maka, and since it's part of the Sugya of Chavoah, but when the intention is for Bizoy, and when it's done to be Mevayesh, to be Mevaza, rather than to injure, we consider that, Pisku Hadayana means that they consider this a different type of Chavoah. Rashi holds this is a regular Chavoah. It just so happens that the Mevayesh is obscured by the mechanism. The Rambam holds no. Makashel Tsar, Makashel Bizoyon is not a matter of how do we do the Shuma. It's not a matter that the Mevayesh disappears. It's a matter that the Chavoah is different. There's a dimension here that is opened up. There's a new dimension here that was never addressed, Mi D'oraisa. Mi D'oraisa, we addressed Nezikin. We addressed a Makashel Guf. We addressed all the ramifications and parameters of a physical injury. But the Chachamim recognized that there was another dimension of experience that happened uniquely in a Makashel Bizayon. So they said, now we're making something new. We're going to make something called a Makashel Bizayon. Of course it's part of Chavoah. Of course it has to be. It lives in the world of Chavoah. But it's a new type of assault. It's a new halach assault. The Rambam holds they inaugurated something new. It wasn't that they just recognized a different way to do this. It wasn't that they became more transparent about the Shuma. They inaugurated something. There's a Makashel Bizayon. So then the question is, okay, but you have all these things Mi D'oraisa. How can they do that? How do you handle the refoy, the sheves? Fine, you recognize something new. How do you create a whole new Shuma system? What's the Shuma system built on? That we'll have to do for next time.
Saying,
would be, and it's according to the Rambam, the Boshes Mi D'oraisa would still be there if it weren't for this Makashel Bizayon. Now the question is, how does the Rambam...
Forget the Rambam today. What would the D'oraisa be for this case?
The D'oraisa would be a little bit of Tsar, and maybe whatever the Boshes is, the Boshes would be Hakolafim Avash Vamisvayesh.
And
it could be very little because there's no Nezek, so they'd say, how much did the brand take a hit here? Maybe not much, but it would be something totally different. Totally different. If this were the D'oraisa system, you would not owe the 400 zuz.
I'm just confused how you seem to be signing on Boshes.
Because, the Tosefta said that there was that I don't have to do, because the Tosefta did it. There's a Makashel Tsar, which is a...
Yeah. But I thought a Makashel Bizayon, we're just saying that the Makashel, which is primarily one of Boshes.
No, I'm saying, I don't think that's what the Rambam's saying. I'm suggesting that the Rambam is saying, if you look at the Rambam's Lashon, he says, Yesh Hakos Rabos Sheesh Ben Bizoy Vitzar Me'at Vein Ben Nezek. I'm suggesting that he's saying, he doesn't use the word Chavoah there. I'm suggesting that he's saying that these are makas that are fundamentally different. Not just the Tashlumin is different, but the makas is different.
I understand, but in what way does that express itself?
So that express itself, you mean halakhli, what's the nafkamina?
Yeah.
Or how do we know that it's, in what way is it different? It's different.
The D'oraisa should be the same.
No, but of course we know the Shuma is different because the Rambam and Yudal have said, but Mechubad, right?
They're treated differently.
But did they undo the D'oraisa?
Well, listen, before we get to how they did the D'oraisa, if you look at Halacha Yudalef, this answers the question of B'madvar Mamur and B'machubad, of Al Adam Shu Mavuza, Beno Makbid, sliding scale. The Rambam could do that because now we're not talking about Boshes Mi D'oraisa anymore. We're talking about Bizoy.
Okay.